Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 23. Psalms, Proverbs, right about in the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter number 23. We'll read this evening verses 6 through 9 responsively. I'll read verse number 6. And you'll join me on verse number 7 all the way through verse number 9. Proverbs chapter number 23, beginning in verse number 6. The Bible says, "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this evening we come to you, Lord needy, Lord hungry, Lord, for your word. Lord, every time we look in a man's life, Lord, when you did something, it was through your word. And tonight we lift your word up as we hear our man of God preach it. Lord, may we be humble as he preaches. Lord, may we be yielded to the Holy Spirit as he speaks through our pastor as we listen. Lord, please may we listen not with the intent that somebody else needs it, but Lord, with the intent that I need it. Lord, we humble ourselves this evening. Lord, we yield ourselves to you as we listen. Please speak to us. Do something here tonight that we cannot do. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Before I start into the message, kind of a new milestone in my life, this coming Tuesday will be the 30th anniversary of being ordained as a gospel preacher. I was ordained by Brother Hiles 30 years ago this Tuesday. I've been preaching for 40, but just, you know, 3 decades is a long time being ordained. A lot of men that I went to college with aren't in the ministry anymore. It's sad. Many of them have changed. Thank God I'm preaching the old same book, the old same message, the old same way. And I cannot go back. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23. I didn't give you the title this morning. I needed to ask forgiveness of my mother, even though she's not alive anymore. I'm calling this Clean Up Your Vomit. Clean up your vomit. See, I told you some of you wouldn't come. That's why I didn't tell you. But it's not going the direction that you think. And I want to show you what God has to say. Most people do not pay attention enough to what they say. Not only that, they don't pay attention to how they say what they say. God has a lot to do about our words in the Bible. Here in Proverbs chapter 23 is a very, very, very interesting passage. Look at it again with me. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Now watch this. It's continuing. It says, the morsel which thou hast eaten. What's that morsel that thou hast eaten? His dainty meats, his evilness, his nastiness. Notice what it says. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. You know, kind of like you lost your lunch. You lose your sweet words by eating the words and the thoughts of evil people. God's talking about speaking and communicating here. God tells us here that we are not to desire what the evil have. The word desire there means things that you think about. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Matthew 12, as a man thinketh in his heart, well, it says here, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When we think on the dainty meats of the world, we will vomit them up, and it causes us to lose our sweet words. Why do we think on things then that will cause us to vomit words and lose the sweetness of our speaking? I don't know about you. I don't like to throw up. Brother Mike, I will do anything in the world not to throw up. I'm not one of these people that says, oh, just throw up and you'll feel so much better. Mm-mm. I will hold it to the dirty last second. I hate doing it with a passion. I've only been, other than kidney stones, sick enough to do that about once or twice in the last 25 years. I just don't do it. You say, why? I refuse. I refuse. I'll lay to the very last. You say, why? Because I cannot stand to throw up. You know, I put it down. It's supposed to be one way. All right? There's two places in your body it's supposed to be one-way traffic. All right? Yeah. Yeah. That's one of them. And the other is where it comes out. All right? One way only. Going up the downspout is not healthy. All right? Now, turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to show you something. Told you I wasn't going to tell you the title because some of you wouldn't have showed up. Matthew chapter 12, and I want you to see what God has to say here. Look at verse number 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. Oh, generation of vipers. That's not good people, is it? Snakes. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the what? Heart, the what? Mouth speaketh. That means this, what you think, and out of its abundance, is what you say, correct? A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good tidings, and an evil man out of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account therein in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, those are powerful verses. God tells us here that we think with our heart. What we think with our heart is what we speak. Our mouth reveals our thinking. Our mouth reveals our thinking. We need to do more control of our tongues, but may I say this, Christian brethren, we need to control what we hear and what we think. If we will control more of what we see and what we hear and what we think, this won't be as hard to control. Sometimes we're looking at the reaction instead of what caused the reaction. Well, the tongue, it's such a hard thing to control. Can I tell you why it's such a hard thing to control? Look what you're thinking on. Right. Let me ask you a question. Do you really think before you speak? Do you really hear what you say? Do you really hear how it comes out of your mouth? Well, I didn't intend it that way. Doesn't matter how you intended. How did it come out? Are you just vomiting up words and not caring how it comes out, where it comes out, and who it splashes on? That's what God said in Proverbs chapter 23. Now, in these days of turmoil and liberal aggression, we're going to have to watch our words. We don't need to get into a vomit spewing contest with the world. I'm not going to get into a barfing contest to see who can throw it up the farthest, the worst, and spread out the most. But yet that's what many Christians will do, is try to get down into the barfing pit and barf all over everybody else that's barfing on them. I got to tell this story. I've told it before. The worst thing I ever saw vomit-wise is while we were in college. Some bus captain decided to give out ice cold watermelon on his bus in Chicago. Of course, he had a busload. It's middle of July. It's hot. Well, he didn't have any ice. So that watermelon sat on that bus all morning, all the way through church, and he filled up their little bellies with hot watermelon. And they got on the Dan Ryan and stuck in a traffic jam. Do you know what hot watermelon in little bellies on a bus that was about 120 degrees out, going does. One little kid in the back of the bus had enough. And up come a fountain of pink all over the seat ahead of him. It started a chain reaction. I don't know how many. I was not on the bus, praise the Lord. I saw the after effects, and that was bad enough. But I think they said like 27 kids ended up throwing up. And finally, one kid finally got the right idea and stuck his head out the window and blah. But there was a brand new Cadillac right next door. Have you ever seen pink vomit on a white Cadillac hood? This guy gets out and he's running around the bus captain. Did you see what that kid did to my car? He said, you want to step in and see what they did to the inside of my bus? I saw that bus and it was just flowing up and down the aisles. You can't imagine how bad that smelled. Oh, it was bad. That's kind of like what, if we're not careful, we'll get into. We don't need to get into a contest spewing things. So to watch our words, we must be then careful what we think and what we hear. Let's look to see what God has to say about this, and I'll be done. Number one, we are responsible for what we say. We read in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, that God said he'll bring our words into judgment and they'll either justify us or condemn us. Did you know everything you say and how you say it, God will bring you into judgment? Not necessarily in eternity, but here on earth. People judge you by what you say, not what you intended to say. People can't see your heart. They don't know your sincerity. Just because you're having a bad day and you have a sincere heart doesn't make it right for you to blow up at somebody. Amen. Well, I really didn't mean to. Doesn't matter. You'll be judged by what you say. Everybody doing all right? I love you. No one decides what comes out of their mouth but you yourself. You're not going to like this. Wrong words, hateful and harsh words come because that's what's in your heart. You've been thinking on those things. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 said that. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We all have sin in our heart, even saved people. Guess what? That means there's time sin's going to come out of here. But are you dwelling on the sin? Well, okay, my wife's in the nursery. This is not about her. All right? Oh, that stupid woman. I can't believe she did that. You know why you said that? Because that's what you're thinking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That jerk, I can't believe he did that again. Because you've been thinking about it again. And those words are what we are thinking, and eventually they come out when you're not thinking. The word abundance means plenty, more than enough. You'll remember this. We had just moved to Indiana. My son Jeff was a wee little shaver, probably about a year, year and a half old. It was Thanksgiving time. We had all eaten like you do at Thanksgiving. To where you're bigger than the turkey. And somebody had picked up Jeff and he was starting to whine a little bit. I said, what's the matter? Did you eat too much? And I poked him in the belly. In my ear, in my shoulder, down my side, into my socks and my shoes. Everything that kid had in his stomach, including his toenails, came up. Oh, it was bad. I just went to the shower, clothes and all. I just started hosing off and peeling off. You say, why? I wasn't going to pull that over my head. They had to get wet to get clean anyway. Get them wet in the shower, amen? Oh, what a mess. He didn't cry after that. I was crying, but I didn't poke him in the belly ever after that. Mm-mm. Don't point that thing that direction, all right? Point it somewhere else. You know, plenty comes through thinking too much about something. If you have trouble with your temper, can I tell you why? Because you're thinking about losing it all the time. You're thinking about things that make you angry too much. Some of you have never sat down and made a list of things that make you angry. You say, why? Because everything makes me mad. By the way, your thinking comes by listening or reading too much about something. I choose not to read or listen to too much news. I choose what news I read and how much of it I read. I have not watched TV, cable, video news in so long. It's been a couple years, including Fox, just so you know. Say why? They lie just as much as the rest of them. You see, we don't really know all the truth and what it is. Before you get all wound up saying what President Trump should have done, you didn't have all the information available to him that he did. You only get what the news media and pundits and people who think they know what the president should have done are telling you. So be careful how much you generate into this. I'm not going to waste my time, my energy, and my life thinking about things I cannot change. Brother Barnes, I love Wyatt. He's my buddy. That poor little kid, he has to see his preacher almost 7 days a week, every week. I love him. But you know what? It's not my responsibility about how he's raised. That's yours. I don't give 5 seconds thought about how he should be raised. Say why? I already put my time in. Don't blame me. Blame his mother. Wait a minute. If they come to me and ask me questions about it, I'll think for a moment about their question, but I don't sit there and ponder on it and say, well, they're not doing a good job. They ought to be doing. I've got enough to do. I don't have time to raise your kids. I don't think about how somebody else ought to be raising their children.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay?
Mm-hmm.
You say, why? I got plenty to do. If I have time to think about how somebody else should be raising their kids, I better get busy doing something productive.
Amen.
Because they're not mine to raise. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. I'm not going to waste my time and energy thinking about things I can't change or fix. That means this. At work, why do you get so upset about things you can't change or fix?
That's right.
Quit thinking about it. Well, it irritates me. Then quit thinking about it. You don't have to quit talking about it. Quit thinking about it. Go do your job. If the company goes down, it's the company's fault, not yours. You did what you were told to do. Shut up and quit thinking about it.
That's right.
If they want to be stupid, let them be stupid. You chose to work there. Don't get too wound up. I am to fill my mind and my heart so full of truth that I only speak truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. You ain't going to like this. I'm just going to read it and let you suck on it for a while. Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, that means people that roll their eyes. A lying tongue, Do you know why your tongue lies? Because you think about it. And hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, that's our thinking, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Almost virtually every one of those things has to do with our thinking and our speaking. God says these six things are I hate, and seven are an abomination. That's pretty strong words. I don't want to go down where my enemy is and be like him and attack him the way he attacks me. I refuse to wallow in the mud with the pigs. You'll get mad at the news media for reporting lies and reporting opinion, and yet we won't shut our mouth about what our opinion is when it doesn't do any good either. Okay, you gave us your opinion. Is it going to change anything? So what good was it to get so worked up about it when it's not going to change anything? If I allow people or situations to get me so enraged that I blow a gasket, they didn't cause me to blow the gasket, I did because I thought about it. If I get angry at my children didn't cause me to get angry. I got angry because I thought about angry thoughts about my children. They just get me so mad. No, you think about what they're doing so much that you allow yourself to think about it and get mad. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I love you. Well, she just makes me so mad. My wife. My husband makes me so mad. It's because you think about the things that make you mad. Ellen was at our house for lunch today, and I did something or said something. She looked at my wife. How do you put up with that? My wife said, after 31 years, I think I'm just going to stick with it. In other words, couldn't change it 31 years ago. Not going to change it now. Right. Say why? She doesn't think about it. Now, we all have those things in our marriages that you just got to quit thinking about. If you want the toothpaste squeezed at the bottom of the tube instead of the middle of the tube, quit thinking about whether somebody did it your way or not. Whether the toilet paper goes over the top of the roll or the bottom of the roll, who gives a rip? As long as it's there, you're doing pretty good. Yeah. By the way, quit thinking about those things. Maybe if you'd quit thinking about it, it would get fixed eventually. And by the way, if you get so angry about political things, what are you doing thinking about them? Amen. Well, it just makes me so... Okay, then don't listen to it. Don't get mad. Why do you want to do something that's going to make you mad? I don't like getting angry. I don't like me when I'm angry. So why would I do things to make me angry? Boy, that's good stuff. So, number one, we're responsible for what we say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Quit blaming everybody else for your bad words. Quit blaming everybody else for making you barf.
Right.
And lose your sweet words. Number two. I don't even want to turn around and look at my son when I say this. He'll finish the statement before I get to the second word. Two eyes, two ears, one mouth. Two eyes, two ears, one mouth. Heard that a time or two in your life? Yeah. In other words, God wants you to watch and listen four times as much as he wants you to talk. Trouble is, we talk four times as much as we listen and watch.
Amen.
Think about it. He gave you one mouth. One, two, three, four to one. Maybe we ought to take time to put more in this way and this way before we run that.
True. Amen. That is it.
Look at James chapter 1. Lest you think it's just me, let's see what God says. James chapter 1, look at verse number 19. Are you ready? I love you. James chapter 1, verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I won't go all the way down, but you could read all the way through verse 25, and it talks about the things that we think and the things that we say are related to our good works and our bad works. swift to hear, slow to speak. Twice as much information going in as should go out. Twice as much information going in here before it goes out here. Our eyes and our ears need to be used before we open our big fat trap. I'm talking to me, not to you. Too many people are swift to speak and slow to hear and slow to see. We react immediately and spit out our opinion before we have all the facts. We will not help American politics by politics. We will help America by righteousness. As I said this morning, look at James chapter, well, we just read it in James 1:20. I'm not going to go back there. But James 1:20 says that it's by righteousness. If you cannot change something, if you cannot fix something, or it's not in your realm of authority to do either one of those, what are you doing thinking about it? Some of you are so angry about your boss and the things he does. Can I tell you something? It's not in your realm. What are you doing thinking about it? You're not going to change him. You're not the boss. Amen. Well, if I was. Okay, that very statement right there. If I was. If I were. You spent too much time thinking about something that's not in your realm to fix.
Right.
Okay. Bless God if those were my kids. Okay, what are you doing thinking about it? Not yours. Quit thinking about it. Don't let it get you so upset that you pop off at somebody else for how they're rearing their kids, because it's not your job to think about it. Amen. If you'd quit thinking about it, you wouldn't say anything about it.
Right.
It's that simple. Man.
Good job.
I can tell you why you want to pop off, because you want to sound smart. Pride. You want people to think you have the answer to everything. Having an answer for everything doesn't mean it's the right answer. Brother Hiles told the story. He was preaching one Tuesday morning in a chapel type situation. He just preached to a huge crowd on Monday night, Tuesday morning, just a handful of people in the Christian school there. A little girl on the second or third row, she was slouched back, and he said, "Young lady, sit up." And she didn't move. And he started, "Young lady, I told you, sit up." And boy, he just tore into her for about 2 or 3 minutes. Finally, a teacher got up, walked over, and started to comfort the little girl. She had a physical affliction, and he did not know it. Oh, boy, did he feel terrible. He publicly apologized both that morning and that evening. Apologized to her family. He said, "I spoke without having all the information." Isn't that true how we are sometimes? Sometimes we think we have all the answers, and guess what? It's not a right one. Our pride. "Well, I got the answer. I know." It always amazes me how people know how to run a church better than somebody that's never run a church. I've been doing church work for 30 years of my life, and it's amazing how some people know more about how to run church than I do. Phone call before I left to come here tonight. Young pastor called me, had a situation. He said, "I hate to bother you." I said, "No, you don't bother me. Let me help you." In about 10 minutes, I was able to help him get through this thing. And probably, instead of three families mad at him, he's going to win two families into his church over it. And he said, "You make it sound so easy, preacher." I said, "Been at it a long time." I said, "I'm just glad you called." He said, "Well, I was thinking about some of this, but not quite the way you did. But wow, I can reach these two families out of this." I said, "Yes, you could. That's what I'd focus on." He said, "You turn everything into helping people, even when it doesn't look like it can help somebody." I said, "Isn't that what we're supposed to do?" Number three, to speak rightly, we must think rightly. To speak rightly, We must think rightly. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. We're going to look through a couple verses here. Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse number 18. Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Do your words pierce people, hurt people, cut people, or are they healing words? Do people come to you for comfort, or do they come to you because they're afraid to come to you because of what you might say or how you might say it? And you wonder why they won't come to you. Maybe if they don't come to you, you ought to think about how you're saying and what you're saying, but it goes farther than that. What you're saying is what you're thinking. Maybe you ought to rework your thinking. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. They love him that speaketh right. Do people love you because of how you speak? The Bible, truth, that which is right, is what makes up righteousness. That means we ought to think more about the Bible than politics. You have all the answers politically. How much time have you put in that book this week? Compare how much news you've consumed with how much Bible you've consumed. It ought to convict some. Talk about the Bible more than you talk about politics. Talk about truth more than you talk about what irritates you. Instead of thinking you have the answer to everything, why don't you just absorb and listen? My dad and I were together this week somewhere. I won't tell you where or what we were doing, but he had asked somebody a question, and that person asked my dad's input a little bit, but did not ask mine, and I had a very contrary input. Say, what'd you say, preacher? Not a stinking word. Nor did I think about it. I wasn't asked. Say, well, weren't you offended? No. I wasn't going to change the person who asked the question to begin with. Why should I waste my life over it? How about we talk about truth more than the lying news? There are people that will spend more time complaining about the liars that you'll lie about the liars because you're thinking about the liars. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I love you. Oh, I'm having fun. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 19. Say, what should we think about? God tells us two passages in Scripture in particular what we should think about. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that sound like listening to the news to you? Does that sound like some of the conversations you have in your home? Don't answer that out loud. In other words, I think that good music ought to be a part of your thinking. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, that's the word of God, hymns, those are the songs that are in your songbook, and spiritual songs. Not worldly songs and not words that talk about Jesus with a rock beat. Not this contemporary Christianity. Boy, there's so much I want to say right here. The music of the world and religion is weak because of the evil that their music portrays. I'll borrow a term from yesteryear and the old preacher. Most of the modern music is as weak as water. Wow, we just had praise and worship. And if you have ever seen the words to that, they have about 12 words in an entire song, and they just keep saying the same thing over and over and over. Oh, we just love Jesus. We just love Jesus. Oh, we just love Jesus. We'll praise his name. We'll praise his name. And we're all having a good time. It's as weak as water. There's nothing spiritual about it. They're just trying to get you to think about something to put you in a mood so that you give more of your money. It's a good thing people aren't here early in the morning when I'm here, because you'd have to put up with my singing. Now, God loves it. Sometimes I like it, but it's not even good to me sometimes. But do it anyway. I was singing some scripture songs this morning. I was going room to room and praying for folks, and in between was singing, and walk into the rooms and was singing. I was out in the foyer talking to God, singing. I didn't go out on the porch because I didn't want anybody to hear me. All of earth trembles and flees, amen. But speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your... Maybe you ought to be playing good music rather than the stupid country music. Maybe we ought to be playing the right music instead of the contemporary garbage that doesn't have any good doctrine in it. We wonder why Christians go downhill, and usually the hardest thing to control in a church is its music. Every piece of music done from behind this pulpit in this church, he looks at it first and reads it doctrinally as well as musically. Then it comes to me, and then I take it a step farther. I am not about to let bad doctrine go across this pulpit. And there are some songs that aren't bad songs, they're just wrong doctrinally, which to me makes it a bad song. That'd be like bringing up an NIV and letting somebody say, well, they're a good preacher, so we'll let them use the NIV. Then why are we going to sing bad doctrine? There are certain verses or certain songs in the hymn book that we don't sing because they're wrong doctrinally, and he knows which ones they are, and we don't do it. Everybody doing okay? Because I'm not about to let you sing bad doctrine. So we think right thoughts by right singing and right music. Turn to Philippians, just a couple pages over from where you're at, Philippians chapter 4. If we want to speak right, we ought to have the right music. We have to have the right thinking. We ought to think about the right songs. Next, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, to have the right thinking, God tells us what to think on. You ready? Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what? True. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's put your video games to the test. True. Honest. Just, pure, lovely, of good report. How could it be good report and lovely when you're killing things? How could... I'm not going to look at anybody because I don't know what you watch. But Marvel Comics, with naked women virtually, other than it's skin tight, you let somebody walk into church like that and you'd have a heart attack, but it's okay for you to watch because it's at least covered. Well, it's painted on. It didn't do anything. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. Before you start criticizing what somebody has done, is it true, honest, lovely, just, of good report? Before you get an opinion about certain politicians and certain things in the news, and you want to make a decision, you don't have all the information to make a decision. I hate to tell you this. We don't know what kind of president Mr. Biden will be. And it will probably dead before the end of the month. But can I tell you something? It would be very unjust of us to judge him. We don't know. He's never been in that position before. Some of us were unjust with President Trump when he first got in office, including this guy, and I told you that. So God says things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure. Pure. Purity. Lovely, of good report. That's definitely not the news. How many people are shot and murdered and robbed and mugged and everything? That's what the news is. That doesn't qualify for any of this. So why do we think about it? God says, if you want to control what comes out of your mouth and not lose your sweet words, then let's not taste the dainty meats of the evil. Because if you do, it might be sweet in your mouth, but when it hits your belly, it's coming back up. My little dog, my poor little beagle, a couple weeks ago. My wife was making pecan pie or something. One of the pecans hit the floor. Of course, like any other critter, she was like snot on a booger and pow! She had that thing gobbled down. About an hour or two later, she's sitting in the living room and there was a pile of what came out of her about that big around and about that deep. I didn't know that a little puppy could have that much in it. She never Bart never did a word. I mean, just poof, there it was. Shazam! Honey, you got a mess. I ain't cleaning it up. We couldn't figure out what she ate to make her sick. Well, we found out that pecans are poisonous to dogs. They shouldn't eat nuts. Guess what? She ain't eating no more nuts. Unless she's going outside right away. But they're actually poisonous to them, and everything that's in their system comes right back up. And boy, did it. That's the only thing she ate that we could figure out, and my wife did a little study and found out, yeah, walnuts and pecans and different nuts are very poisonous to them. I don't know that. Good thing I didn't feed her a handful of peanuts or something, you know? Oh, Lord, be like poking that little belly after Thanksgiving. Here it comes. Yeah. How about we quit getting involved in puking contests with our words? Amen. The book of Proverbs was very clear about it. And I hate to tell you this. How about we clean up our barf and decide we're not going to throw up on anybody anymore? How about we start thinking right so we don't have to throw up? Before you start speaking, how about we think first? Two eyes, two ears, one mouth. Before we run this, let's use both of these and both of these. And maybe we won't have as much mess to clean up. That's what God's telling us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Kind of a simple but crude way of presenting a truth, but I promise you, you won't forget it. I wonder how we ought to change our thinking a little. If you need to use the altar tonight,